This is Kate Moorhead Carroll in the podcast, Find It. Today's podcast is the third in a three-part series called The Art of Preaching. Today's session is on the craft and the delivery. The delivery of a sermon is absolutely essential. You can write the most brilliant sermon in the world, but if no one can hear it, no amount of brilliance matters. So let's begin with the basics. Let's begin with acoustics. You must understand the acoustics of your space. If you're guest preaching, never show up without testing the microphone system yourself. Remember a few essential rules. Number one, when offered a mic, always use it. Most folks over 70 have some kind of hearing loss. Microphone systems are now feeding directly into live streams, recordings, and assisted listening devices. If a space has a mic at the ready, no matter how loud you think your voice is, use it. Number two, the larger the space, the slower you must speak. In general, the speech of the preacher must be slower than conversational speech, because the sound must travel further. If you are speaking into a very large space with a high ceiling, you must slow down, or your words will blend together into a kind of mush. Number three, no matter if you are preaching with or without notes, you must look at your people, because you can see if they're listening or not. Look at them. Are they with you? Are they yawning or falling asleep or looking bored or distant? Are they attentive, crying, focused? If they do seem lost, it is possible to stop and say, "Did that make sense? Are you with me?" These kinds of pauses and questions work really well in smaller spaces. Don't let their attention depart without naming it and reclaiming it. Number four, if your mic malfunctions or doesn't work, address it, fix it, get another one. Don't torture yourself or others by trying to pretend that you don't notice that no one can hear you or that there's a terrible buzzing. Everyone knows, so just talk about it and handle it. Oh, I hear a buzz in my microphone. Do you hear that? Let's see if we can get it fixed. You must also evaluate the space itself for the acoustics, as well as the people that are in it. If you have a large space but very few people in the congregation, it is wise to ask them to move closer. Name the distance. I appreciate you faithful few who have come out on this snowstorm. Why don't you all move closer so that we can really be together? Take charge of the space and let them know that you are aware of it all, and that you have control. It will ease their anxiety and they will be able to focus. Second, the larger and more full a space, the more you need to speak slowly and with clear pronunciation. Remember that not only do high ceilings delay sound, but living bodies absorb it. You must make sure your words are moving into people's minds and they are responding. Look at the pulpit and determine if you want to use it or not. This can depend on the size of the congregation, whether you have notes, the time of day, and the kind of service. Do not preach from a pulpit if there are under 20 people in the congregation. It makes everyone feel inadequate. Intimacy is a gift that small congregations and small spaces can offer. If your space is intimate, or if your congregation is small, or both, speak to them by name. Mention their lives, their birthdays, their anniversaries. You can talk directly to a few people and make them feel special. That is the gift of intimacy. Now let's talk about using notes in the delivery of your sermon. Each and every one of you will develop a preaching style that is all your own. Mark Anderson, the vicar of the cathedral where I serve, and I, we preach pretty much every other week at the cathedral, and we're very different preachers. Mark uses notes, tends towards great detail and wonderful writing and organization. I have never really preached with notes. I have a strange brain. I can recall a lot almost verbatim for a short period of time, but it doesn't stay with me for long. So I got great grades on exams because I could spit out facts on the exam after studying them the night before, but I'm terrible at trivial pursuit because I can't keep those same facts in my head for a long period of time. This excellent short-term memory of mine is great for preaching, but it means that I can't tell you what I preached about 2 weeks ago. If you do use notes, print them in a way that liberates you from the page, and I would suggest that you read them out loud at least once before you deliver your sermon. Don't become a prisoner to your notes. So long as you look people in the eye from time to time, you will still be preaching and not lecturing. You may come up with a system like color coding or printing in an extra-sized font, whatever works for you. Be comfortable with your notes. Let them be part of you. When quoting in sermons, be very careful. It is easy to lose people when you quote a theologian. When you read this theologian from a book and what they've written inspires you, it may sound incredible, life-changing, and inspiring, and you want everyone to know it. But remember that reading anything longer than a sentence or two out loud can really lull people to sleep and get them to disengage. It's hard to convey meaning in a long quote. But short statements, stories, images, phrases, these are all very powerful in preaching. If you want to try preaching without notes, you must spend some time getting the format of the sermon memorized. It's like taking an extra step. You have to take time to get the sermon in your head. How does one point lead to another? What are the particular names or phrases that need to be locked in your mind and memorized and spoken at the appropriate time? And if something that has been memorized does not come to you while you're preaching, you must be able to paraphrase the point that you're trying to make or eliminate the name. Preaching without notes is scary, but it is also exciting because there is room for the Holy Spirit to move you. You are inherently a bit more flexible, but the beauty of the crafted written word can be lost or lulled when you speak without notes. There are positives and negatives to both sides of preaching, for sure. Always name God before you preach, but don't launch into a lengthy prayer. You are in the midst of worship, and to pray too much before your sermon calls too much attention to the preacher. I have always personally found things like, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord," to be just a bit too much ego-focused. I've preferred "in the name of God" or "in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now that language and gender have become such a big deal, I just steer clear of all of this by saying something like, "in the name of the one who saves." So something short and related to the sermon itself, but keeping in mind that you speak in awe and wonder and under the auspices of the Almighty. Make a decision to end your sermon with an amen or to leave them hanging with a question. If you don't end with an amen, then be bold about it. Leave them with a question or something deliberately thought-provoking. But whatever you do, make it clear when your sermon is over. Don't just fade off into the sunset. At the cathedral, we practice 1 minute of silence after the sermon. In this age of rushing from one noise to the next, the silence can often be the most powerful part of the sermon, and it gives the congregation time to drink it all in and reflect on their own lives, to make the sermon their own. This kind of silence takes explanation in the bulletin, and when it is beginning, even some verbal instruction, for people are anxious when there is silence. People are so unfamiliar with silence that they will automatically think that something is wrong and someone has forgotten to go to the next thing, unless you deliberately explain that the silence is intentional and why it is important. Find some truly good friends who will give you honest feedback to your sermon. Most people might give you a positive note, but many will never give you constructive or negative feedback. Both positive and negative feedback are very important for you to continue to grow and develop as a preacher. So establish some really trusted relationships with people who will tell you when something doesn't work, because that's a great time to learn. Never forget that each and every sermon is a living Trinitarian interaction between you, the congregation, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Because of the mystical and divine component of this sacramental relationship, no sermon is ever the same. It is like the ocean, different every single day. And we are blessed to be part of this miraculous conversation with God's people and God's Word. To preach is to be given a great gift. To live an incarnational life in which the Holy Spirit speaks to you and calls you to awaken. It is such a privilege to be able to speak about the Scripture and to help people understand it. May God bless you as you go out into the world and preach the good news.